The following program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. The views depicted in this material are for informational purposes only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial. They should not be considered specific advice or recommendations for any individual. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in the commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision.
Welcome to the show.
In 3, 2,
Wow. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Your Financial Future. My name is Doug Chapman. My partner's Mike Bonaccorso. What's going on there, Michael?
Not much, Doug. How are you? How's everything?
Everything's fine. That's for sure. We're into the full swing of September here. We got the first week of September started off in true September fashion. Terrible, right? The first week of September was a bad week. I think the S&P, don't hold me to this, I think it was down like 4% for the week.
Yeah.
Technology got hit the hardest in there. But there was one thing that I'm taking away from that, and that I do find that my antennas are going up here a little bit and paying attention to. Volume was really high last week. Uncharacteristically high for even for the beginning of September. So, the VIX, which is an indicator of potential volatility, jumped significantly. We saw volatility. I think we're in for a heck of a September here.
In what way?
Volatility.
Oh, volatility. Okay. And again, just to remind everybody, volatility does not mean down. All too often, it's the word is correlated with markets going down. Volatility could be strong up days too. So you're saying we're going to see, and we did see some strong up days after that week.
Yeah.
This week. So it kind of bounced back, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So you are seeing some bouncing around in the first 2 weeks of September. Yeah. I guess it seems about right, I'll say.
Yeah. And there's a lot going on right now as far as people who pay attention to the markets and digest the markets, because job creation is slowing significantly. So they're out there now and they're saying, okay, what's the Federal Reserve going to do? Are they going to do 25 basis points? Are they going to do a half of a percent reduction? Now, I think they're going to do 25 basis points, but if this job creation continues at this very, very low pace right now, I don't think it'll be too much longer before we see another, quick rate cut.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, I think we're definitely seeing one in September. They have to decide how much, quarter point, half point. And then I've heard all along that they're saying there could be two more before year end. So I'm kind of expecting, I would think if I had a guess, okay, and it's only a guess, my opinion, I think you'll see a quarter point in September followed up by definitely one more, if not two more, before the year end.
Yeah, I agree. It's just to what, how much, how big these, how big the cuts are, because I really think things are slowing down quicker than people anticipate right now,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion out there. And, there is there is fuel going to be needed here, or policy, I guess I should say, financial policy. Monetary policy, I guess, is the right terminology for it, is going to be needed here to keep things going, and make sure that we don't have a high potential of falling into a recession.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they just got to get out in front of it. Things are cyclical. Things happen. I mean, they were saying recession. We heard that for 2 years, and it just feels like, that's what they're looking for. But, at this point in time, rate cuts will do us right. I also heard somebody say, it's my belief, rate cuts generally do the market well. Whenever there's been rate cuts, I think you start looking historically out, the market tends to do pretty well. We'll see.
Yeah, well, that, you know, the market tends to do well because that markets typically price 6 months in advance of what they think is going to happen, right? That's historically speaking. It's not a, you know, it's not a, you know, an absolute guarantee, but it typically prices 6 months in advance of what they think is going to happen. So that's why when you see interest rate cuts, sometimes it's favorable for the market because they say, okay, you know, 6 months from now, when these interest rate cuts actually flow into the economy and start having an impact now, corporate profits may increase. And, you know, we want to be owners of the equities when that takes place. So that's very common what we see happen when interest rate cuts take place.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, Doug. I mean, that's absolute. And the other big thing too, that's, I don't know if you noticed it, but boy, is oil way down and gasoline at the pumps. I mean, you know, I saw somewhere, I mean, locally I've paid two something for a gallon of gas, but I think one of the rest areas up on the parkway, pretty close to Clark, I think it was like 271.
I mean,
and it's amazing. People, you think the rest area is just for, you know, people transient on the parkway. People go up there to buy their gas. The line's like coming out the ramp.
If I'm not mistaken, and I don't hold me to this, but I think I'm right on this. Is it true that the gas stations on the parkway can only change their price once a week?
I don't know, but I always thought, my take on it always was that
it was more expensive.
They rip you off. Yeah, they kill you. And I can swear, I think in my lifetime of driving, I think I had to buy gas once on a, you know, one of those on the parkway, not traveling to, you know, out of state or wherever, you know, on a parkway. And I just remember it being so expensive. I was like, oh boy, what a ripoff, you know, like I'll never do that again.
Yeah, but if I'm not mistaken, right, I think there's a rule that they're only allowed to change their gas prices once a week. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Thursdays. So, you know, you could get the benefit of a lower gas price for seven full days.
Wow.
And you could also get the negative side of the higher gas price for seven full days, you know, along there. But listen, all these are signs. These are indicators, right? Like oil is going down in price. They haven't increased production. It's because there's an anticipated slowdown in need. And there is a slowdown in need because there's oil is a commodity that's freely priced. So, you know, these are all signs that we need to take a look at and keep our eyes on. And the listener out there needs to understand that there's nothing that they can do about this, but they should be paying attention to the strategy that's in their portfolio and make sure that somebody's working with them to talk to them about this kind of stuff that's going on out there and make sure you're positioned properly.
Yeah, I mean, Doug, to kind of summarize, there's no doubt about it, right? That's a definite. We're in, like you said, you started out this conversation with September being very volatile. We believe the volatility is going to continue. There's a lot going on, rate cuts, oil, presidential election. There's just, you know, you name it. There's a lot going on here as we wrap up 2024. And you need to pay attention. I mean, you should always pay attention. Okay. It shouldn't be because there's a lot going on here right now. You should always, you know, be doing your due diligence and taking the prudent steps. But it seems like a lot more now.
You know, Mike, there's a good argument right now for active money management. And do you know that only 25% of the stocks in the S&P 500 are outperforming the S&P 500?
Wow. That's an interesting fact.
75% of the stocks in the S&P 500 are performing worse than the overall performance of the S&P 500. So that tells you that there's a very small segment of the companies inside the S&P 500 that are really driving the train.
Yeah, that's a great analysis by you. That's really, I mean, to think of it that way, right? People always say, well, what's the S&P 500 up? And, you know, of course, there's a whole bunch of stocks in there. And you think, you don't think, I mean, it was just like, oh, they're all doing well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's interesting when you kind of pop the hood there and take a look to realize 75% is actually underperforming, and it's the 25% that's really pulling the train.
So to give you an indication, pretty much, is that the first week in September, which was an abbreviated week of trading because of the holiday, the S&P 500 was down about 4% in those 4 days, but technology section of that was down in excess of 6%, you know, in that period of time. So does that tell us that technology is really, you know, rowing the boat there? And listen, probably.
Yeah, technology has a way of doing that, right? Even when the markets are higher, they could always, it always seems like you get a more extreme or very volatile is the word, technology.
I think at this point in time, Mike, it's really important for listeners out there to examine their, or have their advisor, or if you don't, or if they're not talking to you about this, you know, come and meet with us, is that I think it's time to really start to pay attention to dividend paying, you know, stocks and investments out there right now. I think that valued, you know, they're considered very often considered value stocks. I think that it's a good time to start, you know, paying attention to that, because dividends aren't historically as interest rate sensitive. They're, you know, more sensitive on whether or not the companies are doing well. And there's a lot of, you know, places out there where people can at this stage of the game get paid significant dividends. And I like to look at dividends, this is just my point of view of it, this is kind of a return of your investment. You know, if you can get out there and you can get a company out there that's, let's just make up a number, paying a 10% dividend, right? In 5 years, you get 50% of your money back.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, Doug. Do I have a minute here to talk about dividends? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You got about 45 minutes if you want to go on.
I'm going to need every minute of that. So,
right.
When you say that, dividend stocks get me a little feel good or nostalgic, and I'll tell you why about the market, because we always kind of lose our way in life and things that we do. And you put money into the market, you invest in the market, you buy a stock, and you know it's the market trading it up and down to see, did I make money or did I lose money? But a dividend kind of gets you back to the core of the baseline of what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And when you invest in a stock, you're really an owner in that company.
Right.
And that company every day performs if it's, you know, whatever. And when the company pays a dividend, it gets me back to the roots of you're an owner. It's a nice company.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing their thing every day. Yeah, I get it. The stock goes up and down, right? It can go up or down. But getting that dividend just kind of reminds me of like why you did it in the first place. You're an investor, an owner. You bought into a company. And, you know, it could be in this is an endorsement for or against what I'm saying. But let's just say you bought stock into Walt Disney. Well, you are an owner of Walt Disney. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I get it. It's 0.0000, you know, a minute piece. But at the end of the day, you're an owner in that company. It's no different than, Doug, if you and I opened up a store in downtown Clark and we were selling widgets. You know,
but
we're the owners.
You're right about that, Mike, and your description of it is accurate. But there's a part of it that I'd like to add on to what you said there, and that is that regardless of whether you're 0.0000001% owner, the dividend is still a representation of your financial investment into the company.
Yeah.
So if you went in and you invested, you know, $10,000 into the company and it's got a 3% dividend on it, right? You're going to get your $300 dividend on that. That's everybody who's an owner in a company is getting the same percentage dividend, even though you might not be the same percentage owner. Follow what I'm saying?
And that's a great point, because what it really saying is that, you know, when you think of it, well, I'm an owner, but I own, make believe, 100 shares. We'll stay on the Disney theme. I own 100 shares of Disney, and that's not very much. I know it's this crazy small piece. But at the end of the day, the dividend is return on your investment.
Right.
So if you have 1 million shares or if you have 100 shares, it's the same 3% being paid back to you if that's what the dividend was.
Correct. And by the way, this is a hypothetical name, right? We're not forward again. I know we say, but we got to throw this out there, right?
Yeah.
Hypothetical name, hypothetical, dividend rate. It's to get you to think conceptually about what it is that we're talking about. Now, growth has been in favor for a very long, you know, long period of time. And I think what has happened out there is that people have drifted away from, you know, modern portfolio theory and asset allocation. And even though none of those ever guarantee you, you know, a rate of return, they're good methodologies for following when creating an investment policy for yourself or a way that you're going to invest your funds. And, you know, I think that there's some companies out there now that are paying good dividends again and have a good, you can do an analysis, and there's different investments that you can buy that basket these together for you. You don't have to necessarily go out there and do it on your own, but there's companies out there that have a track record of increasing dividend payments, of the percentage of their dividends that are coming from cash flow leads you to believe that the dividend is very sustainable that they have out there right now. So there's very good spots that you can go and you can do this. And I think that, you know, we got to urge people to let us take a look at their overall scenario and situation and say, okay, because there's two things. For the last several months, we've been talking about interest rates, okay? And we've been telling you got to pay attention to your bond holdings and all that kind of stuff. Well, also, in conjunction with that, is you need to pay attention to your equity holdings as well. And I think now we need to pay attention to what are we doing dividend-wise here? And, you know, is there a spot in the portfolio and a position for you to have to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that all makes good sense, Doug. And, you know, getting back to it, though, you know, a dividend is always a nice thing to receive when you have an investment. And like you said, you should take a look at your holdings and what's going on and what are you getting or not getting. That's part of it. You know, Doug, all too often people come in and they're not really serious stock investors, if you're buying individual stocks. But they'll say, oh, here, oh, by the way, I have this, I own this, or I own one, two, or these three stocks, and I don't know, I just took a chance. Why not do it the right way?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like money to be flushed down the toilet. Do it the right way. What do you own? Why do you own it? Is there a dividend? These are things that need to be, you know, answered and evaluated. And, you know, we can help you do it, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want us to take a look at that for you folks, we're happy to. You just need to pick up the phone and give a call. The number is 855-262-3722. That number again is 855-262-3722. Pick up the phone, give us a call, and you know, we'll give you a complimentary consultation. There's no cost or obligation with it. The idea behind it is to you to come in and sit down with us and see if we can get you thinking and see if we can give you some concrete recommendations based on your goals, needs, and objectives. That's what it's, you know, that's what it's all about. So we can't call you. You need to call us, and the number is 855-262-3722. Pick the phone up, give us a call, and we can schedule time to get together with you. All right, let's hop to a break. We will be right back, folks.
If you're like many people, you know that you should really be working with a financial professional to help take care of your money. But if you are like many people, you simply don't know who to turn to or what to even discuss when it comes to your money. This is why you should call Wealth Management Group. You see, the two guys you're listening to on this radio show right now aren't just radio show hosts. They actually work with people like us to help with our money. These guys have been helping people for over 30 years with various financial topics, depending on what is important to each client. So this is what we need to ask ourselves. Are we doing what we need to do with our money? Do we know if what we have is right for us? Are we doing the best things for our family? Wouldn't it be a good idea to sit down with Wealth Management Group and talk with one of the guys? Pick up the phone and give a call to 855-262-3722 to schedule a time to meet. Wealth Management Group has offices in Clark, Toms River, and Florham Park. They make house calls too. Give a call right now. You'll be glad you did. 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. I'm glad you're investing some of your time here with us. And, you know, Mike, at the beginning of the show there, we were talking a little bit about, you know, dividend stocks and you know, how you should be considering those. And, you know, we're going back into patterns here right now that when you go back and you look at the overall economic situation and financial situation, we're going back to patterns that we last saw in like 2007 and 2008, all right, as far as slowing, as far as needing to reduce interest rates, slowing job growth, and that. Now, there was something very different then is that we were in a real estate bubble then, and that collapsed, and we had the financial crisis. That's not the spot that I feel like we're in right now, but what we are in right now is a period of time that a lot of people aren't familiar with when it comes to handling the construction of their portfolio and the allocation of their funds, because when you think about it, that was 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 16 years ago, somebody right now who is 56 years old was only 40. And it's since that period of time, after we got through that rough patch, growth has really been the driver of the markets as a whole, right? And what that has led is to people setting up and establishing portfolios that I think carry more risk inside of them than people are aware of, and maybe more risk than they should even be taking inside of their portfolios.
Yeah, and you know, absolutely, and you know, a lot of people too, Doug, with the risk they take on, it's because they do rear view mirror investing.
Mm-hmm.
And they look and say, oh, what did this pay last year? Okay. And we see a lot of that in 401k plans, right? I think you alluded to one of the weeks on the show, you know, they'll have a menu of funds and they'll say, this one pays, because they'll look at last year's results, make believe 18%. So I'm going with that. And that's, you know, that's just haphazard investing. And that's just basically, you could be throwing your money into growth, taking on, not realizing there's more risk, more reward there, right? But there's more risk there too. And like you said, there's, listen, Doug, I get why you're saying this, right? And why we're having this conversation. But I think people struggle with portfolio management.
Sure.
Period.
No doubt.
No matter good, bad, or indifferent in the world, you know, like they don't really have a method to the madness. Either somebody told them to do it, they're picking off a past performance. Like we've said 1,000 times, market goes up 2-3 years in a row. They think this is absolutely great. I never have to rebalance.
Mm-hmm.
These are all common mistakes we find. And, you know, the other thing too, Doug, is not all mistakes show people don't realize how much money they could have made, you know, and not what they lost. People think the only time they're losing money is when they see a negative.
Right.
It's not necessarily true.
Well, you know, risk and return are related.
Yep.
All right. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, if you've been getting high returns on your funds, there's a good probability that you've got a higher level of principal risk inside. And the reason I'm saying principal risk is because I want to talk about the different risks that do exist. Because while we're talking about principal risk inside of the portfolios right now specifically, there is also a risk that people who don't have portfolios face, and that's lifestyle risk and interest rate risk, right? If you have all your money and if you don't have your money in a portfolio, you face very different risks than somebody who does have a diversified portfolio faces. So there's different risks. There's market risk, principal risk. There's interest rate risk, right? And there's inflation risk inside of there, and there's longevity risk inside of things. And these are all different areas. But the most painful one for people in a quick and an immediate impact is principal risk to your dollars. The problem with income risk and interest rate risk and inflation risk is that tends to cut a little slice at a time. You don't feel that as much. You can watch if your portfolio is not managed properly, you can watch your principal go down some 30% in a short period of time. And sure, that hurts.
Oh yeah.
But what you don't realize if you don't have that, and you're just, when it comes to inflation and interest rate risk, is that, you know, that's a little at a time, a little at a time, a little at a time, a little at a time. So what's happening today, and we see it, is people are now calling us because they need more income coming through the door because of what inflation has done to them over the last several years. But it took several years for it to happen. So my point in saying all this to you is that don't just think when we talk about risk, we're talking about principal risk, you know, the risk to your capital. There's other risks that we need to pay attention to with you. And by having a good strategy in place, we can minimize those.
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. And, you know, great point. There's plenty of risks to your portfolio, right? There's you know, the capital risk, there's inflation risk, there's taxation that's there. So there's things that can just, you know, whittle away at your dollar, if you will. You know, the interesting too, Doug, is one thing, let's talk about this for a sec. I'm going to serve you up a topic you love that has to do with this. The sequence of returns.
Oh, yeah.
And what it can or can't do to somebody when they invest, right? Because, you know, when you're talking about, hey, the market, let's just say, like you're saying, you look at an investment and it's been up, you know, 3 years in a row at pretty big returns. And then you say, yep, I'll throw it into that one, right? Mm-hmm. What could happen when it comes to sequence of returns? Why don't we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so sequence of returns means the order in which you accomplish your returns, because one of the biggest problems that we see, that we feel is a big problem out there, is people say, okay, well, I'm going to buy this investment which has a very long historical track record with an average rate of return of, say, 7%.
Right.
Okay? So that's what I'm going to do. And they're going to plan off of that. Yet, what could happen is if you go back and you look over that period of time of averaging 7%, how many times did it actually do 7%? In a lot of circumstances, it's zero. A lot of circumstances, it's never done 7% in one single year. It's done 20%. It's done zero, it's done three, it's done eight, it's done six. And then all of a sudden, when we add all those together and divide by the number of years, we're at seven. Now, the risk that you come into play with this, Mike, is that if you make that baseline assumption and you set up your portfolio accordingly and you start taking money out, but the first 2 years, you underperform that average of 7%, let's say you do zero, let's say you do negative, that can have a huge negative impact on the future of the overall performance of the strategy.
Yeah. And you know what? That happened to me recently. If I can, right? Let me know if I'm...
No, go.
If I can't get into certain things.
Well, you know what you can and can't get into. We're 30 years on the air.
Well, you're the...
Yes, I know I'm better at it.
You're the moderator. Right. You know when to hit the mute button. But recently, a new client, and we were talking about a specific fund family, if you will, and investing, and I called up the company and said, put together a portfolio and run a historical on it, you know, mm-hmm. on these funds being blended together. And so they ran me the historical from 2000 to 2024.
That's a fair time.
Yeah. And the blend that we were working with came in at something at like close to 7%. But it didn't seem correct, because if you looked at the funds we were utilizing, their historicals are way better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm looking at it, but it was also, we were reflecting, showing RMD withdrawals out of it. So, you
required
know, so,
minimal
distribution. Yeah, required minimal distribution. So I thought there was something in it. And when I was talking to the portfolio managers and going through this, their biggest point they said to me was, the historical you're showing from 2000, there was a major collapse in the market in 2001. Yep. There was another major collapse in 2007, 2008.
Yep.
And they said that if I would have said, let's show a historical return on this portfolio from, say, 2010
mm-hmm.
and do the last 14 mm-hmm. years,
it'd be very different.
Yes. Yes. And that's when, you know, it's like, okay, you know what I'm saying? So that's just, I want to share that with everybody. You know what I'm saying? But if you looked at each fund individually that we were putting together based on their risk tolerance and based on withdrawals they need to do and all that stuff that we took into consideration, you would look at it and say, can't be. It's a head scratcher, but it was sequence of returns that affected that portfolio because we went so far back. But that's good, though.
That's very good. That's how you have to do it.
That's really war testing it. You know, and the guy even said to me, he goes, you reflected three major downturns in the market here in this portfolio.
Yeah. And well, that's, you know, and that's the appropriate way to go about doing it. But, you know, Mike, this is where, you know, sequence of returns, the order in which you get your returns on your investment can be your best friend or your worst enemy.
100%.
Without a properly crafted, you know, overall strategy for yourself. And that's why, you know, we are big proponents of, hey, listen, we need to talk about and see if there's any way we can build some additional guarantees into this as well. With that, because, you know, we need to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And my fear is that there's a lot of people right now who are, listen, we know that every day a record number of baby boomers, you know, are turning 65 years old, right? And every day a record number of people, it feels like, are retiring. The issue is that I have, and my big, big concern is that they're not adjusting or preparing themselves for the financial end of that, you know, that part of your life where you need to now start to take money out. And if you don't pay attention and if you don't build safety nets into your overall strategy related to your income, sequence of returns can really blow you up.
Yeah, that's a great point, Doug. And another point I want to point out about the person retiring is, you know, Doug, you go through a psychological, you know, push and pull, if you will, in that your mind's telling you when you go to retire, okay, I'm done. This is it. And I should be so conservative and do nothing and be real careful and real caution. And there's some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
But to the negative side of that is when you retire, you're just beginning another lifetime of we're seeing people live into their 90s, et cetera.
Sure.
25, we used to say 20, 25 years more. I think we better start saying 30 years more. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, 30 years is a long time, and your money has to be able to stand the test of time of inflation and taxation and everything we're talking about to keep supplying you, to keep you going through that window of retirement. So it's a psychological battle that people go through. And then it gets back to the reason why I bring that up. It gets back to sequence of returns. Boy, right. If you do that and you get hit right out of the gate, you know, a negative, now you're really a mess, right? Now you're really, oh, what's going to happen? I'm going to run out of money. You know, so this all plays into the mind, if you will.
Yeah, you know, and what it all comes down to is you really do need some skillful management and some good partnership and oversight when it comes to this to make sure that you're set up, you know, to do the right things. And this is what we've got, you know, a history and track record of doing with our clients is going over this kind of stuff and saying, hey, listen, here's the risks that you're facing. Here's the opportunities that we're facing. These are the things that we can do and we can't do. And together we'll make decisions on helping you, you know, craft the right thing for yourself. Now, just listening to this radio show is not going to do it for you. And just hoping that it all works out for you is not going to do it for you either. And what, you know, we urge you, and we do, and by the way, congratulations to the people who call in every week, you know, and say that they want to get together. It really is, you know, it's very beneficial and helpful. And so what I want to say is that we're available to meet with. You can have a complimentary consultation. There's no cost or obligation for you. And we want to see if we can guide you down the right path to accomplishing your goals and objectives and talk about these different risks that you have here as well as opportunities that may be, you know, here for you and see if we can get you, you know, with a good strategy in place that's going to be beneficial for you over the course of your lifetime. And then to make sure that, you know, we set up your assets so that when you're not here anymore, they're going to who you want them to go to as, you know, tax efficiently as possible. But you have to pick up the phone. We cannot call you. And the number is 855-262-3722. That number again is 855-262-3722. Pick up the phone, give a call. We've got offices in Clark and Florham Park, Paramus, Toms River. We're old school, we'll make a house call. We're modern day, we'll do virtual. Whatever's easiest for you, we'll do it for you, but you need to pick the phone up and give us a call. We can't call you. Anything you want to add here, Michael?
No, I think it's pretty good.
All right, we're going to hop to a break. We'll be right back, folks.
Are you nearing retirement or already enjoying your golden years? Have you thought about how to create a sustainable income for your future? At Wealth Management Group, we understand that every retiree's needs are unique. That's why we offer custom and personalized retirement income strategies designed just for you. Imagine having financial confidence knowing that your income is secure and reducing the worry of running out of money during your lifetime. At Wealth Management Group, we will work closely with you to create a personalized Wealth Management Group retirement income strategy specific to your goals and dreams. Not some computer-generated multi-printout that's been given to hundreds of other people. Concrete recommendations based on your goals, needs, and objectives. And the best part, your initial consult is complimentary with no cost or obligation. We're here to help you chart the path to a financially secure retirement. The complimentary consultation at Wealth Management Group is designed to be a no-pressure, no-obligation opportunity for you to discuss your financial goals and any concerns you may have about your retirement income with us. We will provide insights into potential retirement income strategies that best align with your needs, helping you understand how to maximize your assets and reduce risks. You'll receive valuable information about retirement planning, investment options, and tax strategies, ensuring you have a better understanding of your financial landscape. This consultation is completely free and there's no obligation to move forward afterward. It's simply an opportunity for you to gain insight and explore your options. And we understand you have a busy life, so rest assured we offer convenient scheduling, including in-person meetings or virtual consultations to make it easier for you. By the end of your consultation, you'll have a clearer picture of your retirement income strategy and the confidence to make informed decisions about your financial future. Would you like to set up a consultation? Call us today at 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Secure your financial future with Wealth Management Group. That's 855-262-3722. When opportunity knocks, make sure you answer. So call 855-262-3722 now, and you'll be glad you did.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. And, you know, I think that it's really important for people to, you know, make sure that you're taking advantage of the opportunity, folks, to come on in and sit down with us and go over it. There's periods of time. If you're a longtime listener of this show, and it's been on the show for decades, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that there's certain periods of time when Mike and I, you know, we just come out and we talk and, you know, whatever, and try to enlighten you and educate you and motivate you. And there's other periods of time when we come out and we say, this is really important. Pay attention right now. We're telling you that this is important right now. This is important right now. Not that it's not always important, but there's periods of time, there's inflection points that we feel as though, you know, some sort of eyes on something and taking a look at it is really important. And I think this is one of those times, Mike.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is. Things are heating up, if you will. But also, Doug, this is my time of the year, you know, after Labor Day, right through, you know, next tax day, April 15th. I always feel like it's just a big time of the calendar for financial doings for a lot of different reasons. And I also believe right now, this September, October, and part of November, before the holiday crush comes and everybody kind of goes off and enjoys the holidays, rightfully so. We all enjoy. But I feel it's like this is a great time of the year. There's not a lot going on. Summer's ended. The holidays aren't here. The kids are back in school. Let's get focused. Let's get some work done, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then that we close out the year well and we hit the ground running next year well. I think it's a great time of year.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. So we're into the what have you been up to lately, and you want to kick it off? You want me to kick
it off? Yeah, I want to kind of kick it off. I'll kind of make a comment. You know, I want to say, Doug, is recently between talking to somebody that called in and wanted to come in, you know, to see us, and even an existing client, to me, one of my great happy spots or joy spots is when people say, I heard you say on the radio show, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? To me, that's like winning and never gets old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's almost like a thrill. And I know you feel the same way. And they'll say, well, you were talking about this. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, am I okay with that? Or how does that apply to me? And it just, I feel like the message is getting through.
Sure.
And you know what? Truth be told, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes mm-hmm. I have to say to people, no, no, you're good. Don't worry about that.
Right.
That doesn't, what we're talking about there doesn't apply to you.
That's, or we've already taken care of it for you.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So to me, I that's great. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to share that because, you know, we always say things that go on in a new office during the week. I got hit with that twice this week mm-hmm. and I just want to share it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? It's what I've had in the last 2 weeks, Mike, is clients are buying a second home. All right.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's absolutely great. But you know what? The conversation is going around and it was like really interesting because, you know, folks, if you listen to the show, you know, Mike and I say for some reason or another, things that are similar start to happen at a period of time in the office, right? Both of these scenarios, no mortgages on their existing homes, buying another home, and then how are we going to finance it? How do we want to go about it? And one client, and I don't, for the life of me, this doesn't make any sense. I don't get it, but whatever. The builder, they're building a house. And the builder gave them an incentive, a significant incentive, $25,000 incentive in this case, to not take a mortgage, to not close with a mortgage, to close with cash. Okay?
Huh.
So, you know what the problem is? They're probably worried about the house appraising, right?
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, there's definitely reasons to that.
So they said to me, the client said to me, well, what do you think I should do? And I, you know, should I take that incentive or not? And I said, well, do you want, you definitely, in this circumstance, they could pay for it cash if they wanted to. I said, do you definitely want to take a mortgage? And they're like, yeah, we don't want to take all the money out of portfolio. We'd rather take the mortgage. I said, okay, well, how about this? How about you take that mortgage, but we get the money out of the other house that doesn't have a mortgage on it right now?
Okay.
If you're going to have a mortgage anyway.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
What difference does it make what property it's
right.
on?
No, debt is a debt, yeah.
And here's the other benefit to it. I said, on the other property, on the house that you're buying right now, you're going to have to come up with, if you take a mortgage,
20%. Okay. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you take the money out of the other house, you don't have to come up with that 20%.
Correct.
Yeah. They were like, oh, my. And I said, listen, I'm giving my job's to give you ideas, right? Yeah. And we got to put the numbers down on the pad and the paper and, you know, and check it all out. But here's a circumstance where because we had the open conversation about it, because they told me about this incentive that the builder was giving them on that other house and they wanted to take advantage of it, we came up with a creative way to take care of it. It just goes to show. And by the way, we don't sell houses.
Yeah.
We don't do mortgages. You know, we don't do, like there was nothing in it for us other than talking it through and advising the client.
Yeah, you're right. And you missed a key point. I don't build them either. So, I mean, that covers it all. But you're right, though, Doug. And you know what, though, just real quick getting into that, I'm glad you brought up the whole mortgage. Should I? Shouldn't I? Should we pay it off? Not pay it off? We have conversations when folks have enough money to either not have to take a mortgage, or a lot of times we see it in, should I pay it off?
Right.
You know, where are we at? And that's always a great conversation to have with the client. And matter of fact, I had it this week with a client. The gentleman just retired. We talked about the remaining mortgage. They had a lump of money somewhere. What do you think? Should we pay it? And a lot of times, one of the things I'll say is, if you don't want to take they're worried about taking out or draining the lump of money that they had to pay off the mortgage, like I said, then continue to go down the road. But the good news is the money's always there. And if you change your mind a month, 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, you know, you can go ahead and do so. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, Doug, it's the most simplest thing. But like the light bulb goes on. It's like, oh, yeah, it's true. You know, when you think about it, like, we don't really have to do that today, do we?
Right.
So anytime you have that amount of money, like you're saying about the client, you're dealing from strength, I like to say. And then look at, like you did for them, you looked at all their options and you came up with a clever way to take care of business.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then if for some reason or another they wanted to have that mortgage on that other house, all right, well, we could do, you know, different transactions. You could close, save the $25,000, and then take a mortgage on that house.
Yeah.
And pay off the other mortgage with it, if that's what you wanted to do. But what difference does it make? A lot of people like to silo stuff, though. You know what I'm saying, Mike? Because you said, you know, if you're taking on a debt, you're taking on a debt. It's your overall thing, which is true. But for a lot of people, their minds work like silos. Like, this house is this house. That house is that house. This account is this account. That house is that account is that account.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes it's hard for people to conceptualize that. And, you know, Mike, I think that that's a very important thing for us to, one of these weeks, to have, you know, either have a guest on to talk about it or to just do it ourselves and just talk about the different mindsets and psychologies that people have when it comes to money, because, you know, our job is not to change the way that you think. It's our job is to help craft a strategy or, you know, something for you that works inside of your mental framework. Because, listen, financial plans don't stay in place when people don't understand them.
No. And, you know, Doug, one of my big lines that I always say to clients is, hey, listen, especially people that are putting money away and trying to save it, and they'll say, well, how much should I do? And I always say, what makes you feel comfortable? And I always say, what makes you not hate Mike?
Right.
And they start laughing. What do you mean? I'm not going to hate you. No. I don't want it to feel like make believe I'm putting $1,000 a month away. But boy, that's making us tight. And we can't go to the movies on Friday night. And it's Mike did this to me. And Mike's the bad guy over trying to get you to save money that you wanted to do, that you came and saw me saying you wanted to do. I always say, do what makes you feel comfortable and that you can handle. And I always say, you can always add more.
Yeah, you know, one of the cool things is that when we were trained in this business, right, we were trained to talk people down off of how much that they want. Because people, when we sit down with younger people to do, you know, to set up an initial financial strategy for you and to get you going over the course of your lifetime, they're very excited most of the time to sit down. And what's extremely common is they'll say, I'll just make up a number.
Yeah.
We could save, you know, to your point, Mike, $1,000 a month. Like, okay, how about we start at $750?
Yeah.
Right? Because the worst thing that can happen is, to your point, you start feeling choked by it, you're uncomfortable with it, and human nature is to quit, not to call up and say, hey guys, the thousand's too much for me. I wanna knock it down to 600. What often happens is they say, oh no, just stop it for now.
Yeah. And you know, Doug, I've come across folks out there when I sat down with them, and I'm talking about older folks that have said, you know, they're having a hard time with the net paychecks at the end of the month.
Yep.
And then when I go and I look at everything, they're putting way too much into their 401ks. And I know you're gonna. I know somebody's saying, "What do you mean? How can you ever put way too much into your 401ks?" They had a ton of money there, plenty of money there, retirement probably well in hand, but of course that's locked up for retirement over 59. You know, the whole deal. And I'd say, "Hey, listen, pull back a little bit here." Oh, you think? Yeah, because you know you're spinning your wheel here on the other side of your financial house. That's, you know, one side's just, it's almost like it's lopsided. And like, oh, I never thought of that because, you know, this is what we were doing. Well, there you go. You know, it's a simple little solution.
You know, one of the things, Mike, is that I did a big data download into my brain this week. Like, I've been really studying charts and stuff like that because of the feeling of how things are going on. And I saw some, you know, some very interesting information in that incomes are up about 20% to 18 to 20% over the last couple of years. The problem with that is that the average car payment is up 28%. The rent and mortgage rate is up 28%. But then when you drill down and you look at it, the bothersome part to me with the data dump that I was doing on myself here was that credit card debt is going up. The average American has $6,600 of credit card debt right now. So I think what's happening is that people are feeling the cash flow crunch a little bit, and they're using their credit card more rather than saying, can I reposition? Can I change my strategy with my funds here right now? And again, it's death by, you know, a couple of, you know, I don't know what the saying is, you know, one swipe at a time, because that's really what it is with the credit card. It's one swipe at a time. It's $200. It's $400. It's $75. And then next thing you know, it's $6,000 of credit card debt, when perhaps an adjustment to your financial strategy could increase your income and make sure that that's a better circumstance.
Yeah, I agree, Doug. And I don't want to get too deep into this because it's more economic, but I almost feel like this is like the cycle of what took place with COVID. You know what I'm saying? All this free money came out to everybody and helped out so many people, and either gave them more money to spend or helped them pay off, you know, their debts. And even the states, you know, got bailed out, right? There were states completely underwater.
This state right here?
Yeah. And you know, the federal government stepped in. So then that happens. And for some people who just got free money to go spend, they developed some bad habits along the way, right? They didn't realize that boom was over. And I think it just, you know, and then, of course, I believe a lot of the inflation came from all this money that got dumped. Got dumped in. So I just feel like it's a sick, you know, like a vicious cycle that's going on, and you're seeing it play out. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, because we never went through a pandemic, you know, in modern day, I think it'll be very interesting to see what the economists say, you know, 5 years down the road when they're looking back.
Oh, they're already saying it.
You know, when they're looking back to it, and they give you, you know, somewhere in the colleges, this will be taught as a case example of the economy. And I think that's where, you know, we're seeing a lot of that. So I don't know. I just,
share that. You know, another thing is that there's something that's out there right now is that equity ownership in personal real estate is at the highest level it's been since the 1960s. Okay, so your percentage of equity in your home is at the highest level that it's been percentage-wise since the 1960s. It's a good thing.
Yes, that's what a booming market will do for you,
right? It's a good thing. The problem is when you look at the credit card debt where it is, and you look at the fact that the incomes aren't keeping up with the increased car payment, rent payment, so on and so forth, what are people going to do?
Wow.
What are they going to do?
To hit the houses.
They're going to hit their house, right? Yeah. You know, like it's a piggy bank. Yeah. They're going to start taking home equity loans and stuff like that. And what we want to do is we want to work and make sure that we try to avoid that kind of stuff, right? I mean, you want to keep that. Listen, people go back and they say, oh, yeah, back, you know, my grandparents and all that, they had it good. They had a pension and all that. And what most of those people didn't have was a mortgage on their home when they retired, right? Yeah. But there's a lot of people out there right now who do have mortgages on their homes when they do retire. So we can get to the point where the trend is going, where there's so much equity right now in these homes that we may be able to get back to that situation again. But people need to be careful.
2 points that are unrelated. One is, Doug, is it my imagination, or it feels like to me that younger couples, the newly married, all have a house before they get married? Are my eyes correct on that?
Statistically, saying we don't know the answer, but it feels like that.
Yeah, it just feels like that the young home ownership, that's almost like, okay, we're getting married in a year or two years, and the house is bought before. So a lot of the tradition of, you know, get married and you rent, and then someday you put the coins away and buy a house, feels like that's changed. The other thing too, Doug, is I want to point out is what you're saying about the equity in the home versus the credit card debt and all that. A lot of people that come in and sit down with us, I'm going to call them unbalanced. And what I mean by that is you look at them and it's their assets are all retirement, or or it's a lot of equity in the home, but they lack money in the bank. You know what I'm saying? Like non-qualified money, you know, go-to money. So I like to say, it's not necessarily that they're in bad financial shape. I almost look at them like they're a wash machine where everything's on one side. Yeah, stuff got washed, but that's a rough load you got going there. You know what I'm saying? That thing's going to bang around and make all kinds of noise. And, you know, I see the smile on his face. I know he's enjoying that one. So I did it again this week.
We got to fix the washing machines.
You know, but you get what I'm saying? You're heavily unbalanced, and we want that thing to be, you know, spinning and working without making any noise. Now, hey, Doug, what you put in a wash machine?
Yeah, you don't want your financial life going go-goom, 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 go-goom.
That's what it feels like. You know?
No, it's a valid point, and you want to know something? I do laugh like at the description, but the description's good.
Yeah.
Right? You have to use, you know, you have to develop pictures for people to envision in their mind, okay, this is what they're talking about here.
Doesn't mean it's broke, the machine, and doesn't mean that you're – the towels, let's say, didn't get washed,
right,
just means that's not how it should be. You want that thing,
right,
you know.
That means maybe we turn the machine off and we adjust what's in there so we get it spinning smoothly. Yeah. So, folks, every week we come out here, we talk to you about this stuff. We talk to you about the potential pitfalls that we see and the things that we see people doing wrong so that maybe and hopefully you don't do it wrong. That's what, you know, we try to do. We don't come out here, and I had a conversation with somebody a couple of weeks ago about the radio show. And what we are not is we are not people who are going to come out here and try to get you all excited about an investment opportunity, mm-hmm, a financial vehicle, or something of that nature, you know, so that you want to take some sort of action. What we want you to do is say, okay, am I doing things properly? Because doing the things properly is the most important thing. The financial instruments are completely separate, and they're tools to getting the job done the way you need to get the job done. Don't do it backwards. Don't go out there and buy tools, i.e. financial instruments, and see if you can wedge them into your financial life. That doesn't make any sense. You know, is a hammer better than a screwdriver? It all depends on the job that you're looking to do. If you need to put a screw into a board and you only have a hammer, you're not going to be successful. But if you know you need to put a screw into the board and then you're going out to Home Depot to get the tool, buy a screwdriver.
Agreed, Doug. You know, and that's, you know, we don't really necessarily believe in blanket statements too. Like, don't ever do this, or you should only do that. Everybody's different.
Yep. Folks, again, you can go to our website if you'd like to have a complimentary consultation with us. It's wealthmanagegroup.com. Again, it's wealthmanagegroup.com. It's going to take you right to a landing page where you can, you know, you can send us an email message and we can get together with you. Or you can pick the phone up and give a call. And the number is 855-262-3722. Once again, 855-262-3722. That's going to wrap it up for this week, folks. We hope we brought you some great value. We hope that we got you to think. But most importantly, we hope that we get you to take some action and pick up the phone and give us a call. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Your Financial Future with Doug Chapman and Mike Bonaccorso.
What we try to do is educate people about money, motivate them to do planning, and make it as easy as possible to implement.
As creative thought leaders in the financial industry, Doug and Mike design strategies for people to help them live comfortable financial lives.
For the most part, every client is different. But one common similarity is that people want simple ways to accomplish their goals and someone to show them how to do it. That's exactly what we do.
In addition to hosting this radio show, Doug and Mike personally help people with their money and create simple strategies for them to help reduce taxes, maximize Social Security, make smart money decisions, and have income for retirement. They can always be reached at 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Always feel free to give them a call at 855-262-3722. You deserve to have the help.
The preceding program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. The views and opinions expressed on Your Financial Future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in financial services commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. Join us again next week at the same time for Your Financial Future.